Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name that your grace is sufficient for Wellspring Fellowship. And Father God, in the name of the Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we declare that, and we say, Lord, by your grace, meet every need of the staff here, of the people here, of whatever it is for 2023. Father, we say, meet that need by your grace in all wisdom, in all power, in all loveliness, grace, in just gentleness, meekness, with all the glory of God and the personality of God. Father, we thank you for that need. We thank you for your grace. And we know there's never a situation, Lord, where you haven't provided. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The lesson that I get from that, folks, is that you don't focus on necessarily what you want or what you think God is going to do. When you step into grace, you step out of my will into his will. That's grace. That's grace. Stepping out of the way you would do things, come on now, into the way that he would do things. You see what I'm saying? That is God. And as we're led into the Spirit, there's never a wilderness that he's going to lead us to without the manna that he'll give us. And we may go, what is this? It's called grace. It's called grace. It's called grace. And you make of God's grace whatever you need to make it, and it may come in different flavors, but praise God, his grace is sufficient. Amen. Amen. You know, you have to follow the Holy Spirit and obey him. And I'm just giving testimony. I mean, the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to take a trip to Africa in April. And I said, okay, who do you want to go with me? Shua. Okay, sure, we're going to go to Africa. All right, how much do we need? Okay, there's that. We put it out there, and the money came in within 2 weeks. I mean, within the time that we had to go. I mean, we had a very short amount of time once we actually decided and got the ticket. It was a matter of weeks, not months. God just provided above and beyond. So much so that we were able to ship them a keyboard to that place, because once I played that keyboard, man, Ronnie, it's like playing a guitar that doesn't have all the strings. It's just like weird. You just feel weird every time you hit that key and nothing happens, okay? It's just funny. So anyway, and God provided for that, okay? Then, okay, so he didn't do that. I'm already in my message, guys, you hear me? He didn't do that, and so, but we had an abundance. So let me tell you something, because of the need, how many of you know that God's grace always abounds above what you need? When you walk in the grace of God, he'll give you more. So what did we have? We got more so that we can give them a keyboard. It wasn't just my ticket or my expenses. But he said, oh, by the way, I'm going to give you more so that you can leave a blessing. All right? So I'm going to show you this in the scripture, okay? Then the second time, he said, okay, now you're going to go, but this time take 9 other people with you and help them raise all the support for them. I never did that before. I was just going to raise support for one person, Pastor Alan Leppett from England. I told him, I said, I'll raise your support. It ended up being 8 more people. Guess what? The Lord provided above, more, and guess what? A whole lot more than the first one. So the second one, we had even more. Not only did we bring a keyboard with us, but we brought a MacBook Pro laptop computer and the equipment so they can start doing music production. That's like double like what we had on top of the rest. Plus, an offering came in later that didn't come. So now there's money in the bank ready for the next trip. Okay, now I'm going to give you an example. There were two examples in the gospel where Jesus was led into the wilderness with a whole bunch of folks. Right? There was a whole bunch of folks in the wilderness, right? And they had to feed them because they were hungry. They were hungry. 4,000 men. They took up 7 baskets left over. 4,000. So the need was 4,000 and they had 7 left over. So God's grace is always more than your need. The second one, 5,000. Greater need. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So they had less to work with. For the 4,000, they had 7 loaves and a few fishes. God left over 7 baskets. For 5,000, they only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So they had less at first for more people, right? And they had more overflow. They took up 12 leftovers. So what's the principle? The greater the need, the more abundance above the need. That's what the Lord's trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us that as you walk in the grace of God by faith, you can only walk in grace through faith. It's the only way you can do it. Lord, if the need is greater, the baskets are going to be greater. And if you start with less, you'll actually get more grace than if you start with more. That's God's ways. Amen. Amen. If you start with less. So can we repent of ever worrying about when we have less? Oh, Lord, I've got this situation, and I have less money in the bank than I had before, and the bills are even greater. That means that God is going to meet that need with more leftovers than with before. When you're doing the will of God. As you do the will of God. When you're feeding hungry. And here is why I feel like the Lord is trying to tell us this. Because the Lord was very clear. I love it when people prophesy my message. I didn't talk to Don. I didn't talk to Lee. I didn't talk to any of y'all about what I'm going to say today. But the reason is, what was Jesus doing? He was feeding the people. And meeting them so that they could hear the word of the Lord. And I believe we are called to go out. To go out and bring them here. That we have got to stop expecting them to come. We should always expect it. But we also have to include with that expectation that we're going to go out and bring them in. That we're going to go out into the community. And if we're going to go out into the community, we're going to have to give them some loaves and fishes. They're going to have to get something, and we're going to have to believe God to provide for whatever it is that we need to feed. Whether we're feeding them food, real food, or whether we're feeding them the word of God, or whether we're feeding them repairs to the houses, or we're going to feed them whatever it is, whether we're going to have to pay for venues, or whether they're going to have to rent, or we need equipment, whatever it is, we're going to need to believe God for more. I believe that God's riches are going to be released as we go out. As we go out. As we reach people. As we talk to people. As we step into people's lives. As we encounter them, we're going to see God do that. And with that in mind, because His grace is sufficient. And as we go, the provision will flow. As we go, the provision will flow. And if we are led by the Spirit, even if we're led into the wilderness, that means we're going to see God's provision. We're going to see even more. Okay, Elijah was in the wilderness, and God met his hunger in the wilderness with two meals. And the first meal enabled him to rest, and the second meal enabled him to go. And God has a word and a provision for you and me to do both. And God had to minister to him in his need. And the first thing that God did with him was to meet him to give him rest. And then to give him a meal that enabled him to walk for 40 days, to go 40 days without eating. So he was able to go. And God wants to feed us both kind of meals. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what a meal is that he ate. But God gave him the ability to rest. And there are times when the Lord says, look, I'm going to feed you, and you better go to bed in the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Go to bed with me and trust me and rest and recover, because you need some rest. How many of you sometimes God's got to tell you to rest? I know about you, but I'm one of them. Okay? I'm one of them. I can't tell you how many times God's told me to rest. It's called the rest of faith. But I'm telling you, it's more than that. Sometimes you got to literally rest. And you got to slow down. And God wants you to slow down. And he'll give you that word or that meal to make you able to rest. Come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that means come to the table of the Lord and get rest. But then there's a meal or a provision or a grace that enables you to go. To go. That means, and he went on that meal, one meal, for 40 days. One meal. Now that is the ultimate hiking and camping dream. Take a backpack, and I want you to go on a 40-day, you know, a 40-day hike. Okay, Lord, what do I need to take? And you're thinking, what are you thinking? That's a whole lot of food. I'm going to give you one bar, and it's going to work for the entire time. Isn't God good? All the time. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that at one time, at that time, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. I want you to stop for a second and look at me and think about this. In order to have a passion to reach other people, you first have to remember what you were like before Jesus came into your life. And you should never forget it. Because Paul said to him, don't forget how you were before Jesus came into your life. Remember how you were alienated. Remember how you were separated. Remember how you had no hope and you did not have God. Remember, because I want to do something with you, saints. Remember. Second thing, let's go to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And he himself, this is where he just keeps preaching Jesus. He himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. What is this all about? The only motivation that we have, aside from what we used to be, is who he is. That Jesus Christ is our peace. We sing a song like that right from this passage. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Now, when we went to Northern Ireland in 2017 with Abner, we literally saw the wall of hostility between the Protestants and Catholics. We saw it. Jesus breaks down every wall so that when you go, you are going with Christ, and it doesn't matter what they look like, it doesn't matter how they talk, it doesn't matter what background or what things they do, good or bad. You hear what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. They may be offensive to you. They may not come across to you right. They will not be obeying the law. Let me say that again. They won't be doing what the law requires. There's only one way that you can go reach people for Jesus is to have grace. Because at one time, you weren't doing the law either. You were just much of a sinner, and you're going to have to be willing to go and step into some situations and some neighborhoods that you may not feel comfortable in. And let me tell you, some neighborhoods may have fancy furniture and they be wealthy people. That's not my kind of neighborhood, but I know it's a neighborhood and it's an attitude. It can be just as weird, and you can not like that either. So I'm telling you that God has to show us that it's all about Jesus. There is only one way that we are unified. It's because of Jesus. It's not because of skin color. It's not because how much money you have. It's not because what language you speak or where you're from or what's your last name, first name. It's not because of your personality. It's not because of your temperament. It's not because of your former life of sexuality. It's not because of any of that kind of stuff. We are one in Christ. We are one in Christ. We do not label ourselves that way. We don't become hyphenated Christians. There's no such thing as a hyphenated Christian. We are Jesus' people. We are his people. There is only one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God over us all. That's just the bottom line. And we're one in Christ. Praise God. And it says in verse 16, it says, might reconcile them in one body to God, thereby killing hostility. So there's a reconciliation that goes out even as we go out into the world. And he came and preached peace to those that were far off and peace to those who are near. This church has always been a church that has never been defined by distance. When God said, I want to start this church, he just didn't start with people from Martinsville, or he wouldn't have brought Janine here, or he wouldn't brought Jan here, or he wouldn't brought me here. You see what I'm saying? He started with you guys. He started with, but then he said, okay, I think I'm going to bring someone from far off to live here in Martinsville. And then he didn't stop there. He said, not only are you going to reach out to people in Martinsville and the people down the street from you, but you're going to reach out to people on the other side of the world. And that's going to be a part of your passion, is reaching the world for Jesus. And so, I mean, I remember sitting in a little tiny basement on Hazelwood Lane. And when God started speaking about Africa and God started speaking to send people to India, I think India was the very first mission trip of this church. So there's a situation where our vision to bring people or to reach people is, and think about this, because of technology, because of technology, because of transportation, that ability to reach people, not just in Martinsville, but in the United States, has expanded. So you're going to be hearing, in the days to come, you're going to be hearing about things that are going to happen that are going to have to do with go ye into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And go into all the world and make disciples. Now, making disciples isn't evangelism. And this is what you have to understand me. Go into all the world and witness the gospel. Okay, that's in one place. But making disciple means training people. Training people. There is a hunger and a need. There are people, let me tell you, there are people in Martinsville, Virginia here. There are people out here that need to be made into disciples. They're just church sitters. They're just church sitters. And God wants people to be more than just attenders. He wants them to be disciples. That means you train them into being like Jesus. And you do it through the word of God and through your example. But there's disciple making and there's evangelism. And both happen. Both happen. They're just as important. Amen. Praise God. It says, so then, verse 19, you are no longer aliens and strangers. That's the ESV. I like the word foreigners. Okay. I like the word immigrants. You're not somebody that, and if you think of the old days, you think of here, your neighborhood. And I heard this actually a statistic that because of the internet and social media, people are less friendly in their neighborhood. They don't go out. They are not friendly to their neighbors. They don't go down the street. They don't play with their neighbors. They're scared or they're just too busy or they don't give a flip. They don't care. I know when I grew up, we knew all of our neighbors. We knew their names and we played with I played with all my buddies there and I knew their moms and dads. And when my friend Bruce contacted me and he's living in Florida, I went to visit him, but he'd always talk about how we used to play and how he used to come over to mom's house after playtime, get cookies. But we don't see that kind of lifestyle today as much. Do you sense that? Okay, you live in a big, development up there in Collinsville. And I believe that that's a God thing for us to connect with our neighbors by seeing them face to face. See them face to face. Whether you're meeting them in a store, like Jeremy was preaching. See, y'all were just preaching my message anyway. I'm not going to have to repeat myself. It may be in the store. Just run into someone and you need to say, okay, Lord, who do you want me to see today? Who do you want me to share the word of the Lord with? Who am I supposed to give a word of knowledge to today? Who am I supposed to encourage in the Lord? Because doesn't prophecy encourage? Yes, it does. Doesn't prophecy build people up, make them in disciples, make them strong? Yes. Doesn't prophecy encourage people when they're down? And God will bring you into someone's life to encourage someone when they're down, when they're sad, when they're having a loss. But you have to be there to do that. You got to be there and available. And guess what? That will feel like going in the wilderness for some of you. It's true. Because you love your house. You love your home and you don't want to leave. Because it's nice. You got everything just the way you want it. You got everything decorated just the way you want it. You eat the food just the way you like it. It's true. You got your schedule all set. Everything's in routine. You got to be careful that your routine is not a rut, because a rut means you're dead. You know what I mean? A grave is a rut with two ends cut off. But if you're led by the Holy Spirit, there'll be grace. There'll be a lot of grace. Lots of grace. And guess what? More grace than you need. There'll be baskets to take home with you.
Glory to God.
And the bigger the need, the more the baskets to take home.
Glory to God. More baskets, Lord. I need them right now.
Wow. I'm going to finish the scripture because I feel like the Lord just landed it, landed the plane. It says this, your fellow citizens with the saints, members of the house of God. So not only does God take a stranger to you, someone that you've never met before, someone that you don't know, someone that you don't have a clue about, then all of a sudden, you're not just a citizen with them, right? No, they're in your house. They're living with you in the house. That's what Paul's saying. You're members of the household of God. Now, think about any time you've taken somebody into your home that wasn't your family initially. You can even think of it as a pet. Take a pet, bring it in your house. Guess what happens to that pet? It's no longer a pet in a cage, right? At a store. It's a member of the
family.
Come on. What happens to it? When you bring it in, it becomes a member of the
family.
That's right. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, I never intended for this to be a member of my family, right, Josh? You can ask him about that after church. It's true. You'll find out that there's a family member that you just never met. Like when I met Pacific online and then I went to Kenya to meet him, it's like, bro, you are my brother because we all just like our hearts the same thing. Like we are so passionate for the presence of God. We ain't going to put up with all this foolishness. You know what I mean? All the lights and smoke. We just want God. I was like, brother, you're awesome. And then his right-hand man, the music guy, Vincent, same thing. Whoa. You're just like, family, family. There it is. That's what God wants to do here. More, increased in this community, in around the world. They're going to come here. They're going to come here. You're going to see someone show up. I don't know how, when. God's going to provide. They'll come here. Study. They'll come here to get impartation. They'll come here to celebrate. We've got Pacific and coming with his assistant, Joanna. They're coming in the end of February. God's doing it. He's making it happen. There's a lot of favor on this house. There's a lot of favor on this house for the wonderful men and women of God that are leading in this community. It's tremendous favor right now. And it's going to increase and increase and increase. Why? Because God is not just building a house. He's building a temple of the Holy Spirit. That house is not just a place where you have a good meal. That house is not just a place where you have fun. But that house is a place where the presence of God is so thick and so rich and so beautiful and so wonderful that people are being transformed from glory to glory as we behold the glory of the Lord. It's a place of transformation. It's a place of worship. It's a place of fellowship with the Lord. It's like the Garden of Eden. I mean, think about it. Think about what God wants to do here, what he wants to do in other places. I'm just excited for this year. And as we begin to worship here, I say, God, here we go in this worship service. Danny was leading it. Thank you, Danny. And as God began to move, as the team began to move, people began to speak by the word of the Lord. And I'm like, there's my message. So what does God do? He begins to speak by the word of the Lord through people. I'm like, okay, Lord, there it is. There it is. Grace. Grace abundant. And I'm going to finish just with that one, just one story, and we'll be done. I worked really, really hard. because we were taking care of Mary Ann, and, you know, she was going through, you know, her recovery. So I was doing a lot of stuff because she couldn't do stuff. All right. And the Lord said, put this team together and go. So I put the team, by God's grace, and I got a lot of help from Ronnie, got a lot of help from Jan. God blessed us in all this, okay? And just all the things that you got to do, all the dots you got to put on T's. I mean, there's a lot of details. I get there in Rwanda. We get going. The conference gets ready to start. And a day later, I come down sick. I'm like, Lord, why? Why? We're getting ready to start, and I'm feeling terrible. It's like, Lord, heal me. Yes, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. And here's the thing. What I heard from God was, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. See? Paul just wasn't told by God that it's just a matter of time, and if you just hang in there, it's going to be all right. No, he didn't say that. He said, my grace is sufficient. That means when you face a situation that looks like a no or a later, God's not saying later. He's saying is, my grace is here now for you. Step into that grace. Step into that grace. And as you stand right now, let's stand before the Lord and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I step into the grace of God. I step into the grace of God for 2023. And because my weakness is made strong by the grace of God. My weakness is made strong by the grace of God. And God will give us more than enough than what we need. More than enough, even as he leads me in his purpose, even if he leads us in his will, as we're willing to go with God, he will give us baskets full to take home with us. Amen. Praise God. He'll give us the ability to do things we never thought we could do. He'll give us the ability to bless people and meet needs way above we can ask or think. Father, we thank you as a church, as a people of God. We dedicate ourselves to your grace for 2023, for this year, as we plan, as we seek your face, as we come before you and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? There will be changes. There, we will not be doing things the way we did them last year, necessarily. But Lord, we're going to step into what you have for us, and there's going to be more than enough and above in what we need. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a praise right now? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty Lord. Amen.